Well, hello everybody, and welcome back to another episode of We Watch Stutter. My name is Michelle, and who's here with me?
It's JD.
It's JD.
Woohoo!
Nice. I don't know why I went with the awkward pacing today, but you know what? It's a Friday. We're gonna run with it. I just
Wait,
had.
is our pacing ever not awkward?
I think we have the first 5 seconds of the episode nailed down, but the second we ask the other person to introduce themselves, then it goes a little bit
It just
off
kind of goes off.
every
You
time.
know,
Yeah.
look, I mean, we've only been at it for 2 years. I think mastering the first 5 seconds is a perfectly acceptable level of progress. You know,
Oh my God, it's
progress,
been
not
2 years.
perfection, as they say. Yeah,
Oh.
it's we didn't even make special note of it, but the Leprechaun Returns special episode, that was our 2 year anniversary.
You say that we did not make special note of it, but I know how much you like stats and things like that, and I do
What I mean
note
is,
that
like,
you just mentioned it.
we didn't. What I'm saying is, we didn't mention it like during the episode or make a big deal out of it. But yeah, it was
Yeah, where the fuck's my cake? I demand cake.
two flipping years. Also, just shortly after, if this episode makes it, I believe, to 51 minutes and 3 seconds, and I'm pretty sure it will, we will have recorded 120 hours of podcast content. Five, you could start listening to our podcast and listen nonstop for 5 days, Michelle.
You would have a terrible time, and I wish you luck if you choose to do that.
Yeah, for sure,
Because,
especially starting at the
ooh.
beginning, because look, guys, I'm here to tell you, those first, oh, 30 or so, you could probably just skip right by those.
Yeah, but the Spooktober was good. Not great quality for all of them because I was still using my gaming headset. I assumed this would be a thing that would
It's
fade
cool.
away very quickly. But
Man,
I like the Spooktobers.
if people are just tuning in for the first time, they're just like, what the fuck are these people talking? We just went right into the nostalgia portion of the episode because it's the 2 year mark. You know, it's a whole
Also,
thing.
the drinking game that I'm creating, drink if JD just said something like, man, if people are tuning in for the first time, because that is one of your favorite references.
Well, it's true
That's in the drinking
sometimes.
game. I
If
know.
you are tuning in for the first time, hello. Thank you for checking it out. I promise we are going to talk about Shudder. That's
Yeah,
the
maybe.
that title is no coincidence. We talk about Shudder original and exclusives. We talk about other horror movie stuff. What are we talking about today, Michelle?
Well, since we're trying to get to 51 minutes, I just want to tell you that I spent 3 hours building a DVD specific bookcase that can handle 560 DVDs for my physical media. And I have a schedule worked out so that if I buy 4 or 5 used DVDs every 2 weeks for the next year, I will have everything on my wants list crossed off by this time next year. And guess who is well into that project? It's
Probably
me.
you,
It is me. It's
Michelle.
pretty great. Yeah.
Physical media is dead, Michelle.
No, especially look at what's happening with gaming, where they're telling us that if we
Yeah,
don't physically own the game, that we have to just accept that we don't own the content, which
I
then says that that pirating is
know.
okay because we
I know.
don't own the content. Yeah,
Yeah,
I
it's
know.
the whole thing like with streaming services where like if you buy a movie on Amazon but then they lose the rights to it, you don't own that movie anymore. And I
Yep,
bet you
that's
if
why
they
I'm
do get the rights back to it, they're not just going to give it back to you to make you buy it again. Anyway, this is not a podcast about the economics and business ethics of the entertainment industry,
It is a
because,
podcast
oh
about my
man.
new DVD bookcase.
Yeah.
I am horny for organization.
That, well, I oh,
Add it to our list of t-shirts we need because I
horny
will
for
be alphabetizing.
organization.
Yeah, there's a couple things
Okay,
that aren't
so
sorted yet. I'm
anyway,
so excited. Anyway,
we came
yeah.
here to talk about a movie tonight. Michelle, what movie are we talking about?
You'll never find me. Also, the
You'll
movie is called
never
You'll Never
find
Find
me.
Me, but you will
Yeah.
also never find me. I am elusive.
I already found you. You're right there.
Whoa.
I
So glad somebody
know.
found me.
I know, right?
Yeah, you found me and you saved me from myself. And on
Oh,
the I don't remember the rest of that
I don't
song.
want to be responsible for any of that.
That's That is fair. Okay, let's talk about this movie, shall we?
Let's do it.
It's a movie. It's called
You Want
You'll
Me
Never
to Read
Find
the Summary?
You know what? You go for it. You found the summary. What the listeners don't know is that before every episode, we do spend a while arguing over which summary is the best.
Yeah.
And today we're going with Wikipedia. I agree
with
JD. It's the best
one. It's a nice blend of Shudder and IMDb. Hits the big points without giving too much. Here you go. You'll Never Find Me. An isolated man who lives at the back of a trailer park is visited by a young woman seeking shelter from a storm. As the storm worsens, they begin to feel threatened. You'll Never Find Me. A Shudder original. Michelle.
Yeah.
Please, if you would be so kind, tell us your spoiler-free thoughts on You'll Never Find Me.
Yes. Why did my brain go blank and panic the second that you asked me to do that? Who knows? So this movie starts off in a way that feels kind of odd, but as it develops, I thought like, oh, this is kind of slow pacing. I don't know how I feel about this. It could feel tense, but it could feel slow. I'm right on that fence. And there are a couple things that happen, not even during like the big part of the movie, but before that, where I started going, oh no, this is a good movie. There was part that my heart wanted to say, this part specifically is a five skull, but I cannot reasonably do that. I think I was just very excited to watch a good film, and I was completely hooked. I am going to go with a, you know what? It's a 4.25 for me. I really, truly enjoyed this. And if the slowness in the beginning does teeter for you between whether this is slow or tense, and if it falls onto the tense part like it did for me, I hope that you will enjoy it too. 4.25 out of 5.
Once again, get out of my fucking head, Michelle. This was a really, really enjoyable film. Bottle movie all takes place in one isolated location inside this this trailer home. Only two people in the movie. A couple other people appear on screen, but they're just sort of figures on screen. They don't have any lines or anything. These two people, Brendan Rock and Jordan Cowan, and we'll go into real detail, but they are... they are what makes that balance work that you were talking about, mm-hmm. because it does. It's definitely doing that Mike Flanagan thing where it's taking some time to just give these actors room to be actors and develop an atmosphere with their characters. And they walk that line of like I went back and forth several times over which one I thought we had to be concerned for and which one I thought we had to be concerned about. It's really, really well acted. It's well directed. There are some things that happen in the third act that I thought were a bit clunky, or at least they're not the way I would have liked the story to go. But overall, this was really good. Really fun. Much like you, there were moments where I was like, oh, I think this is a 5. It doesn't, especially with the stuff at the end that I'm going to talk about, it doesn't quite get there. But I was going 4.5 on this one. And so you went 4.25. That's a 4.375. It's, guys, this is so weird. When we started doing this, doing this podcast, Michelle and I had so many polar opposite reactions to films, and I don't know how many it's been now, but there have been several in a row. When was the last time we were in strong disagreement, Michelle? Do you know that off the top of your head by chance?
Pieces earlier.
Okay, well, yes, yeah, just recently, I suppose. I liked that one a lot more than you did.
But the last real one, Dario Argento's Panico.
Oh, okay,
which
yeah, fair.
I did not like.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
well,
I mean,
also, you're not
a
big Argento person.
Yeah. But
we've
it's been a while since we had like a full argument.
Yeah.
I miss it. Those are the good days.
There's got to be one coming sooner or later, right?
In the monthly recap, there absolutely
will be. Oh, yeah. We already know about that one. There's some stuff coming. We're going to talk. Anyway, that's You'll Never Find Me. The movie is not super gory. It's very atmospheric. It does have a little bit of violence in it, a little bit of blood. But if you're more into just like psychological tension, and if you're just into really good acting, this is a movie you should go see before we spoil it. Really, really worth your time. And at 100 minutes long, I don't say that very often. So go check it out. Now we're going to spoil the shit out of it. And when we always start spoiling the shit out of it, we ask Michelle to give us that. You didn't prepare at all here, did you, Michelle? I know you've always talked about how you mean to, and I love that you don't. For those of you just tuning in for the first time, you are in for a treat. Michelle, I'm sorry, you were about to make a comment. Let me let you make that.
Oh, I was just going to say, one day I will prepare for this part, and you will get a rap of some sort. But, like, I watch the movie, and then we immediately record, and I forget. So,
Michelle,
yeah, I don't know how. Yeah.
That is the one case in which I would be totally okay with you prepping the plot summary, is if you prepared a rap. Please do that. Anyway,
I will find one.
Tell if these people were foolish enough to not go watch the movie, please spoil the entire plot mm-hmm. for them.
Okay. There's this guy named Patrick, and he's alone in his house, which sucks. I hate being alone in my house. That's why I have too many pets. And then there's a knock, knock, knocking at his door, and he opens it, and there's a woman, and she's like, "Hey, can I come in? I have an ambiguous reason as to why, but basically I don't have a car or a phone in 2024, and it's pouring out, and I need to come in." And he's like, "Okay." And then this woman is just like not situationally aware of anything, apparently. So she goes into this man's place, and he's thrown up so many red flags that you can make a goddamn red quilt out of it. But then at the same time, she is throwing out so many red flags. I mean, this could be a terrible first date, and it would be the exact same dialogue going on, where it's like, "Well, you said this. No, you said this." And lots of back and forth. We don't know who to trust, you know. Again, like dating, which of them is the bad one? Both of them? Neither? Me? Potentially. So then she tries to leave, but she can leave. So then she doesn't, which is just a weird fucking conundrum. So then she goes back in, and then turns out, nope, the guy, he's a murderer. He likes killing. He's going to kill her. He does kill her, which I found very surprising. He puts up zero fight, which I also found surprising. But then turns out there's a reason she did not want to get away, because psych, you can't kill a dead woman. She's already fucking dead. And now she's here to make his life bad. And he's screaming, and the other women are there, and they're like, "Ha ha ha, you suck. Also, I don't know, like, your feet are weird." I don't know. They're there to just torment him and get into all of his insecurities. So then they're like mocking him, but then he comes to, and no, none of that happened. He's just in his house, trailer, whatever it is. And then there's a knock, knock, knock at the door. It's not a woman. It's kids. That's so much worse. But they leave him alone, and that's good. Go away. And then he realizes that he took the drug that he thought he gave the lady, and he's going to die. And he laughs because he's like, "Oh, that's a silly thing to happen." And then he fucking dies. Will he come back to that woman's caravan someday? Probably not, because she is in heaven. He's in hell. Where he goes with all these sinners. The end.
You'll never find me.
You'll never find me. I found him. He was in the movie.
Yeah, that's the gist of it. It's these two actors, right? Again, you've got Brendan Rock, who plays Patrick, and Jordan Cowan, who plays the visitor. We never get a name for the visitor. And you are just dropped right into this, right? We just start with this dude at a table in his house with a bottle of booze. And what's going on? And then there's a knock on the door, and there's another person. And, like, she, like, the way Jordan Cowan plays it, like, she is definitely aware of every one of those red flags you were talking about. She plays it like, I don't know if I really want to come in. I was just hoping you might want to help me a little bit or be able to. Like, they play this back and forth so well. That again, like when it gets to that moment where she goes to open the door and the door just opens and it wasn't locked and he's just like, the door's not locked, you can just leave. Like I had completely come to believe like this guy was a crazy person, and then it's so well written, so well paced. There are some monologues in here that are fantastic. This is an actor's dream. You could do this as a stage play, really, with, you know, some very limited special effects and things. But really great character piece, really solid performances, really... when it does come back into the horror zones, the tension zones, it's really effective. And then a lot of that last act, I really loved. But let me ask you, so here's where it kind of didn't quite work for me, Michelle, is mm-hmm. everything after he snaps back to that snap back to reality and it's just him back now in his trailer home with the dead girl there. And he's also now in his guilt, killed himself by taking the drug. There's a part of me that really wishes, because clearly what they're saying there is this whole thing is like, these are all just metaphors for his guilt and his paranoia and all of that eating away at him. And like, I wish this movie had just ended somehow with the ghosts fucking this dude up, right? Like, I don't need to be told that the ghosts are a metaphor for his guilt and the things haunting him over what he's done, right? So I wish this had just somehow kind of ended where, like, and here's why, like, did that work for you? Let me ask you that before I go any further. What were your thoughts on that part of the ending?
Yeah, well, luckily it's a thing we don't see very often anymore, but it was so played out, the whole it was all a dream thing, and that is essentially exactly what that ending is. And nobody likes a it was all a dream type thing. I would have been so happy if those ghosts fucked him up. Even if the ghost, like how she was pouring alcohol down his throat, if that was literal and then he dies from taking the drug and it's not self-induced and none of that happened, like I just need this guy to die in a terrible way. But he right. died laughing and fuck that.
Yeah, and again, you like we are of the same mind here. Like, they get to that point where he's finally started, like he's covered in blood and he's been tormented by all these ghosts, and there is a fucking pile of corpses just littering his living room. Holy shit, that was rad, in a very horror movie kind of way. But there's that moment where he talks about how like. Like, I keep sitting here waiting for the red and blue lights to be flashing outside my window. And then they're there. They were on the verge of this beautiful comeuppance. And by pulling him back to reality there, he just gets to kill himself and that's the end of it, right? There's no justice. Mm-hmm. There's no revenge anymore because they weren't real, or you know, they weren't real ghosts. It's all just something that he's tormenting himself with in his head. As a horror film, this would have been way more effective for me if they hadn't done that. The only thing about it that I do question a little bit, and maybe I'll get your thoughts on this too, the one thought I did have is maybe this girl behind him that we didn't know was there at the beginning of the film and then we find out, maybe that's actually the only girl he's killed. And all the rest of this is something he made up about this terrible fantasy of going, you know, down this road. I don't know. I don't think that's what it was supposed to be. It was a thought that I was like, I don't know, maybe... But, it just, that part was a bummer to me, because it does, I think they, in trying to do something sort of like, here's why it's hard to talk about this, but here's why I don't like that kind of ending, because to me, that kind of ending feels like horror apologetics. That feels like you're saying, oh, I know we did a lot of horror movie type things here, but this isn't really a horror movie. I don't want you to think of this as a horror movie because I'm worried that you give horror movies bad connotation, right? It feels like they're trying to pull back away from that at the very end. And I just fucking commit to that, man. You know, you talk to Ari Aster, he will flat out tell you, no, in the world of Hereditary, every bit of that is really happening to those people. None of this is a delusion that they're experiencing. In the framework of the story, it's all really happening. And I really hoped that's what this was going to be, and that's why it doesn't quite... Now, it's not enough to completely undermine the entire thing for me. I thought the rest of it was still really effective. Sorry, I ranted there for a little while.
No, that's okay. I have a different part I'm going to rant about in a little bit.
Do it.
But I don't like the idea that he's only killed one person. I need him to be a terrible person in order for me to root for everything that happens to him up to that point.
You don't think a single murder of an innocent person makes him a terrible person?
Well, I need him to be worse.
You need him to be more of a monster. Okay,
yeah,
fair enough.
Yeah, I get. Yeah, I was like, well, I guess. Yeah, he did murder one person. I need
one
him to
murder.
Be like,
look, I'll be fair. Yes, one murder does not quite a monster make. There are a lot of people who did one, and there were, you know, they were just in a bad place in their lives, but they got to suffer the consequences now. So you're right. Yeah. Yes, I understand.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If he killed one person and felt regret immediately and killed himself, nah, I need him to kill a lot of people. And that's why I needed him to have a terrible ending. And he did not. Where things kind of changed for me were actually was with that first reveal of, yes, he is a killer. And now he's going to get you. And that whole thing, I was so disappointed. And I was like, well, this is fine. But I had just built it up.
It did feel a little easy.
Yeah, I had built it up so much in my head that I was like, oh, I thought we were getting to supernatural stuff. What was it with all the hallucinations and the whole earring thing? Like, what does all this mean? And I was like, oh, they're just going to drop the ball on all of that? Okay. I was like, it's just another movie where a woman gets murdered. That sucks. But I figured we were going to go in the direction of she gets away, because that's what basically all would have happened in a different kind of movie. This would have been two people having a conversation, her running away for a long time, eventually getting away, and whether or not he also gets away. Like, that's usually how that plays out. I could not tell, is this poorly scripted / directed, or is there something deeper going on with the way that she fought back, or should I say did not fight back? Because I was like, girl, you want to get caught. What the fuck is going on? Like, it's so obvious that it distracted me. And I was like, I kind of get why they did that. But in the moment, I was so disappointed already by thinking like, oh, it's not supernatural at all. It's just a guy killing a woman again. Great. But when it brings
it
back.
And then. Yep.
And then. First off, he actually kills her. And
yes!
That is such a rare thing where she stops breathing and I'm like, oh, well, she's just pretending and he's going to leave and she's going to. And no, she's actually dead. So I'm like, well, we've got a lot of movie left. What the fuck else is going to happen? And when she sits up with that blood dripping down her face and him holding the hammer, I was like, we are right back in it. Oh my God. I was so happy when that turned back around. So, like, the first reveal was necessary, but was such a lull in comparison,
yes,
and disappointed,
yes,
me so much. But
that
I also am glad they did it.
Beautiful bit of writing, yes.
Yeah.
It was a very calculated risk because I had that same experience. I was so much enjoying that first hour where there was that nice, tense back and forth, and I really genuinely flip-flopped several times trying to decide what was going on. And then when it just turned out that, oh no, he really is a crazy psychopath and he's gonna kill her, it felt a little weak. Now, there is one thing I do like the reveal. Here's the first thing I'll tell you, is it's interesting to me. I didn't have that experience you had of thinking, oh, she's barely fighting back. I didn't have that.
She made no effort.
I just read that as her being very scared and not sure what to do. And so I never caught that element of it, but that's very clever. But yeah, I was watching this and I was just like, he gives her the drugs, and then he tells her he's giving her the drugs, and he tells her that 4 is enough to kill somebody, and he gave her 6, and then she just lays there, and you watch her die.
It's not gory.
Bleak.
It's very upsetting. That was a very upsetting death. And it's probably the
big deep breath and then has that shuddering. Oh my God.
Yeah. And I think it's the way that, like, if you're getting murdered by somebody, that's probably the way you want to go. But still seeing it was so much more difficult than a horror movie where they get stabbed and now they're dead. I don't know why, but that, like, her breathing, phenomenal acting. Ooh.
Yeah.
It was upsetting.
Really, really well. I honestly find myself wondering if that last shot where we see the really deep breath and then it holds for so long, mm-hmm. I find myself wondering if that's not an effects shot, if there's not, like, it's not a real person under there.
They just pause the frame.
Yeah, they cut away and then they cut back to it, but I don't care. Mm-hmm. It was fucking heavy. And then I was like, wait, is this just, because I wasn't paying attention to the clock. And I had that, I was like, is this just how this movie is gonna fucking end? What the fuck? Now, the one thing I will say about when she sits up and her head's bleeding and you see the hammer covered in blood, and this is the part that it's a little disconnected for me. The whole idea here is these ghosts have all come to get their revenge on him, right? Why is she confused when she, like, why does she not seem to be aware of who she is? Like, she's in the shower and she sees the blood dripping and she seems confused. She's using the hammer to try and break that glass and the blood starts dripping on her and she seems confused. And I suppose that can just be part of, you know, maybe explained away just by this is all fabricated in his head. But that was an element where I was like, I'm not really sure. But again, I'm willing to give it a pass just based on the fact that I thought the story was very, very effective. And by the time I had that thought, the movie was over. Right? The movie was already over before I had that thought. And, you know, I like to make my scores based on my experience of watching it. And my experience of watching it was very good.
I actually, that whole part of her being confused, even with the reveal of, like, this is what's going on and all of that, I'm just going with ghost logic because I thought back on, like, all the signs. And I was like, you know what? She's a ghost. Maybe she's not all there, but she's clearly remembering certain things because she's seeing the hammer, thinking it's covered in blood, and it's not. She's touching her earring, which she knows he took. So in hindsight, it's like, yeah, maybe she wasn't really aware until she had that moment of clarity. Like, she might have just been sent there and
maybe
lost her memory.
Maybe it was dying the second time that brought her back to who she... Okay, yeah, I could see that for sure. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Ghost logic.
Yeah, especially, like, guys, if you really like solid character, like, there are several moments in this movie where a camera just sits on a person's face and they talk, but
they don't just talk.
They do so much with their expressions and with the way, like, this feels like they must have rehearsed this over and over and over because it feels so natural. And that's one of the nice things about a movie like this that all takes place in the one spot, makes it very easy to be able to give it that level of rehearsal. And a movie where it is mostly dialogue, you can just sit in a room together and work that and rehearse it. Their chemistry was fantastic. Their acting was fantastic. I can't say enough about it overall. And I even thought the writing so far as, like, the vocabulary and the verbiage of the monologues, I thought it was just really, really overall well written and well put together. These folks, Indiana Bell and Josiah Allen, Have apparently worked on several things together. They have several shorts that they've co-directed and co-produced and worked on. This is their first feature. But man, they got something going here, and I'm very curious to see what they do in the future. This was real good.
I forgot the thing I was going to say. Give me
a millisecond.
Well,
now you've got a chance to say it.
I know, I got it. I have not made this comparison to anything else since I watched this other movie, but this gave me Speak No Evil vibes, where I'm like, girl, get the fuck out. What are you doing? Get out. Girl, what are you doing? Yeah, it's unlocked.
Yes.
Run.
Yeah.
Run? What are you doing?
What? I get it. You feel very bad that, like, this guy is just a lonely old man who was trying to be nice, but always trust your fucking gut, all right? That's one of the... I do think that is one of the big messages of this movie is always, always, always trust your fucking gut, you know? Oh, my God.
I would have stayed there, though. I would have gotten murdered.
Yeah, you would have, because you're a crazy person. Michelle, if you haven't listened to our episode about Speak No Evil, this is where we found out that Michelle is so afraid of being impolite that she would just stick around and let somebody kill her.
Oh my God. I didn't even tell you my story when I was in Denver for my business trip last month.
Let the whole world know, Michelle.
I will. It's not the worst thing that could have happened, but it is so evident that me traveling by myself is going to be a cause for concern. Like, I'm going to Vegas in May for a business trip, and then I'm staying several days by myself in Las Vegas. I'm getting murdered. But I
call
was
Eric.
In I should call Eric. Yeah, he'll show me around.
Go
we
see
can
him
go to
in Holly.
Vegas
It'll be a
Haunted
good time.
Museum. Yeah, that would be a good time. Hi, Eric, if you're listening. I know you're not. He does. Oh,
yeah.
Well, hi, Eric. Sweet.
Hi, Eric.
Hi, Eric. Okay, so when I was in Denver, it was 11 o'clock at night. I was not asleep yet because I go to sleep at like 2 a.m. Midwest Central time. It was not going to happen yet. And there was a knock on the door and I immediately went, oh, no, I don't want to keep them waiting. And I'm wearing like my short shorts for like bedtime. And I immediately open the door. I don't even look in the people or anything. It could have been anyone at 11 at night. And then it turns out it was just two guys who got the wrong room for DoorDash. And there was a whole thing that happened. They were confused about where they were supposed to be. Nice guys. I didn't get murdered. It was a weird scenario. There's more to it that nobody else cares about. But the second all of that was done, I just called my husband. I was like, hey, so you might be right that I am going to get murdered and I need to be careful. Because at
Michelle,
11 o'clock at night in this big city, I'm like, oh, I don't want to keep them waiting.
Michelle.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a perfect example of how we are two completely different people.
Yep.
I won't even go.
I didn't even look at the peephole.
I won't even go to the door to look through the peephole to see who's there. If somebody knocks on my door at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and I'm not expecting someone, I won't even, not only will I not open the door, I will not even get up and go to the fucking door. I will just sit quietly until they go away.
Yeah, because they might be looking the people to see the light change and know
you,
you're there.
You just walk up, no concern whatsoever. You are going to die in a horror movie. That's
I know. Plus, there's also like a difference stature-wise. I am 5'2 and very pleasant, and I would get murdered so easily if that's what those meant. You'd give him a pause of like, he looks kind of scary and mean. I'd be like, hello, welcome.
Hey,
is that a knife?
Wait a minute.
I'm just saying. Okay.
Why do I look scary and mean?
Okay.
If you haven't figured it out by now, we're done talking about You'll Never Find Me. We enjoyed the movie. Yeah. We think you'll enjoy it. Go check it out. This is the part of the podcast where everything just completely goes off the fucking rails. We'll talk about more horror movie stuff in a minute.
Let me explain. Not right now. If somebody made you get up and go to a hotel room door and you were not expecting them, I can imagine in my head the face you would make at them. That's why. I have this vision of
you
can't opening it
because
and frowning.
I would never go. You can't imagine that face because that face is an impossibility, Michelle.
That's fair. I've seen your angry face, and that's the face I imagine you making if someone's like, you have to go to the door.
I let my parents turn around and go home before because they came and knocked on my door without telling me they were coming. Nobody.
You think I'd have better instincts? Because every time somebody knocked on the door and it wasn't expected, I would have to hide because it might be CPS. Growing up, I had to hide from CPS all the time, and you would think I learned.
Well, welcome to the therapy portion. Michelle had to hide from CPS as a child.
Yeah, his name was Dave. He was my boogeyman.
I'm not saying I'm never going to die in a horror movie death scene. I tell you what, I am never going to be the victim in a home invasion. That's for goddamn sure. They'll have to break the door down. I ain't letting the strangers in. I ain't even answering the goddamn door. They could walk around, look through a window right at me, and I'd sit there like a goddamn statue, like I wasn't a real person until they went away.
Is that a mannequin?
I
did add mace.
Don't knock on my door if I don't know you're coming.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I look soft. I'm a fucking fighter, though. I'm like a cat. We're like, I'm okay with this until I sense.
And just flail.
Yep. The second I sense danger, oh man, those people should be afraid of me. Because as soon as I know you're a bad person, oh man, I'm clawing your eyes out. I'm biting your dick off. You don't even have to have your pants off. I'm taking your pants off. I'm biting your dick before I run away. You trying to steal my purse? I'm trying to steal that dick.
That's way more than I needed to know. I'm trying to steal that dick. That's another t-shirt we need. I'm trying to steal that dick. And then it's got just like a bloody severed dick down on the bottom.
Who's shoplifting who?
Oh, my God. So this is this is the weird therapy portion of the show. We got lots of stuff coming up in year number 3. We finalized a plan for Spooktober already this year. We're going to have to get working on that. One of the movies that's a big part of it is about ready to drop on Shudder. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it's going to be a vault title. What else we got?
Everything we decided to do, but I'm looking forward to rereading.
Oh, you forgot what we're doing for Spooktober?
Yeah, don't tell them.
I'm not
going to
tell them. No, I'll tell you. Coming up, Michelle, how many sleeps till the movie?
Okay, so it's technically Saturday, so Saturday sleep, Sunday sight and sleep, Monday sleep, maybe a Tuesday afternoon nap, and so like 3.5 sleeps until late night with the devil.
Late night with the devil. We're going, it's already playing in theaters. It's coming up on Tuesday.
I am dodging reviews. Bit of social media.
I am too, but this is actually, let's just get this out of the way because look, it's not stopping anything. I'm going to go see the movie. My tickets are bought. We're going to watch it when it plays on Shudder. But I did find out today that apparently there are portions of like the opening sequence of this film that are AI generated. And look, the bell has been rung, right? And AI is here. It's not going anywhere. But there are ways you can do it that are respectful to the people whose work you are feeding into those algorithms. And while I do believe that's a possible thing, I definitely don't believe that there's anybody in the world right now who has their own private AI system that they have legitimately fed all of their source data into. Somewhere along the line, somebody involved in the production of this film said, nah, it's fine. Just use this thing that's feeding off the aggregate work of literally thousands of, if not millions of other artists. And there are active strikes going on. Now, this is another thing is I have heard that there are a lot of productions that did some stuff with AI before anybody really understood what was going on here and before any of the strikes were happening, and they're getting kind of a pass, right? It's like, okay, we understand what happened, but we need to work hard on this. But it's just, guys, do your best to not support AI art. Even if you see something that you think is cool or funny on the internet and you just want to share it to your friends, please don't do that. Man, like there is so much going on right now where so many people's work is just being exploited and manipulated, and it's real sad. Like, that's a job that somebody could have had, and like a job that you could have paid very modestly for, and the person you paid for it would have been thrilled to have it. So I don't know if it's a thing where they were just in a time crunch and they decided they needed to do something real fast or what, but, and look, I'm not saying, oh, fuck these. I'm still going to see the movie, right? My ticket's bought. I'm going to see it. I'm going to watch it on Shudder. We're going to talk about it because I'm sure it's a great movie. Everything I've heard says it's great, but that's my little talk about AI. Please try your best to not support this stuff. If you go to any kind of conventions, you know, fan conventions of any kind, and they don't already, encourage them to not allow AI content, like, in their artist rooms or anything like that, in their vendor rooms. This is something that, and again, you know, it's not going anywhere. It's here, but we have to figure out the right way to do it. And that's my little tirade about AI in art and the movies, and I'm glad I got it out here. So then we can just do the Late Night with the Devil episode. Again, this is not it's not going to ruin my experience of the movie. It's just an unfortunate thing that I hope we see less and less of.
Two quick comments.
Please
not rebuttals, just comments.
Please do.
One, I did dig into the AI used in Late Night with the Devil because I was very cautious.
I knew you would, so I didn't honestly do a lot of digging myself.
I dug. I was on the Twitter threads. I was reading. I saw what somebody else made that was a million times better. But one of them, like, it was somebody saying, you know, I was so disappointed to see that these frames, and they said their title cards, which I think when this is a show about Late Night with the Devil, it's like a late night show. So I think the title cards are used during the show, and it's those like quick interstitial things. And so they're like, oh, you could tell it's AI. And yes, you can tell it's AI. One of them is a dancing skeleton or something, and neither hand looks correct. And they didn't even go back and touch it up. They didn't even have a human get involved to fix that. And
yeah,
that's just disappointing. They,
yeah,
they didn't like proofread. Like, the jack-o'-lantern's eyes are all fucked up. Like, it's just disappointing.
And you've seen that in a lot of things already with people who have tried throw AI content out there. And then they try to... Look, here's the one thing I will say. If you don't think there's anything wrong with the use of AI content, why do you deny it when people say it's AI? Like, why do you deny it at first? Why don't you just, like, and that's what's happening with so many people, is they know there's going to be backlash, so they deny it. And as you've mentioned, there are all these hallmarks that if people take the time to really study the image, and if you haven't figured out that there are people on the internet who have enough time to do fucking anything, I don't know what your deal is.
Like squelches.
Have you ever seen the Netflix documentary miniseries Don't Fuck With Cats?
I have not. I cannot watch it, but I know what you're talking about.
Oh, God,
can't do it.
It's wild.
Yeah,
what these random people on the internet were able, not just wild, frankly, a little frightening. Little, like, I get why they did what they did, but a little fucking scary. Anyway, my point
is, don't fuck with cats.
You are not going to get away. The AI is good. It's not good enough yet for you to get away with this shit. So knock it off until something is done to at least try to legitimize this for the people whose work is feeding these systems. There, that's... Why did we... Why did I
Hang
decide...
On, my second comment.
Oh, you had two comments. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I know you're upset. My other thing is my big kid job that I do to make money, but also I fucking love my job.
Your big
I don't
girl
know if
job.
I've said
yeah.
it before. My big girl job. So a big part of what I'm doing currently is preparing to train our entire company on the use of AI. So I'm super involved in that space. And I could talk forever about my thoughts about AI because it's complex. But basically what it comes down to is using it as a tool, Awesome. Great. I use it. Today I typed an email into Microsoft Copilot and told it to make it sound friendlier because I knew it sounded mean and I wasn't mean. And I know the irony of telling a robot to help me sound nicer because I could not do it, but then it saved my boss some time. So using it as like a tool for small things like that, that's fine. But like making whole things, like it's just lazy. And I think that's
Sure.
why it's irritating to me.
Well, and I understand Ugh. That point, Michelle, but I think the thing I would say immediately to that is I understand what you're trying to say, but at the end of the day, even that algorithm that just makes what you've said sound a little bit more friendly is being fed by the language used and put together by so many creative people who have designed friendly language, you know? And so it's,
yep.
And again, I'm like, I'm the technology is here. There are just ways to do this, but yeah, I mean, there are amazing things we are going to be able to do with it. I just really wish art and creativity wasn't any of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm not even disagreeing with you. It's just like
oh, for sure, for
one
sure.
of those things where it's like, oh man, I hope that there will be a day where everybody is in alignment about the ethical way to do this. In the meantime, please make it so that my coworker does not think I'm yelling at them. And even that, here's what Late Night with the Devil could have done. They could have taken what AI gave them and went, oh, well, that's a good starting point, and then
yeah.
fix it and
yeah.
make it their own. That's what I do. I never just copy something from like Copilot. I'm like, that's good enough. Like, oh, okay, that's their example. Cool. Like, it's just lazy and it bothers me.
Yeah, so I at least got that out of my system, so I feel better about going to see the film. It really there was a short period of time where I genuinely thought about just getting my ticket refunded. But
would.
There's a lot of people. Well, I get real. Here's the nice thing, Michelle, is clearly my new medications are working because I didn't. Right?
I know. I'm so proud
JD,
of you. I expected that text.
This is the JD therapy portion that Michelle is whole way too familiar with. JD every now and then reacts very what's the word I'm looking for? Not just passionately, but I make a lot of real snap decisions that I feel real dumb about very quickly after. I tend to act rashly, and thankfully the Lamotrigine is really kind of bouncing me out. So
that's also what
Michelle,
I'm on. So yeah,
Michelle,
apparently.
I had an entire 20-minute conversation with the folks who oversee my mom's healthcare coverage. I had to talk to three different people to get my issue resolved. I didn't yell at a single person.
I'm so proud of you.
I was baffled.
I know.
How did I even do that? Well, as it turns out, drugs.
Know. Yeah. No, that's even me. Like, I would have a hard time in that.
Sure.
Speaking of hard times, we've got 3 minutes until we hit our 51-minute mark. Probably 2 minutes.
We should probably say more stuff about horror movies. What can we say about
I saw
oh, Michelle, what's coming up next week?
Oh, Found Footage 3D from 2016, which you've never seen, but
I've never
seen
it.
And spoiler alert, love it. I love found footage. I'm such an easy person to please. I've watched a lot of bad found footage lately. I know you don't like bad, but that's why I don't say the name of the movie in that context alongside it, so those people don't get their feelings hurt. But I will say they were not good. But when they get it right, man, they get it right. I love it.
What do you know?
So
what do you know about this movie Frogman, Michelle? I've been seeing a lot of advertisements for Frogman.
That was one of my good movies that I've seen recently. That's
oh, awesome.
Footage,
well, then I won't
and
ask
I was
you too
going
much.
To
I'm sure you're going to talk about it on the Michelle
I actually
review.
Wasn't, but I was going to message you and say it might be something that you would enjoy.
Well, put
it's
it on
available on Prime.
Put it on the list for
Correct.
Michelle and review, and I will. I'll try to give it a look.
I absolutely will. Frogman is so fun,
guys. You know what? Seriously, since we didn't take time to really talk about it in the last Leprechaun episode, thank you for 2 years of sticking with our nonsense. If you had told me the day we sat down to record the bunker game that we would still be doing this 2 years later and we'd be coming up on damn near 200 episodes.
I would have quit immediately.
5 full days of audio content. Yeah, I would have said no fucking way. This is a terrible idea. What, we're going to do 30 episodes or 31 episodes in 31 days in October? Whose dumb fucking idea was that? As it turns out, mine.
Sounds exhausting.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and,
no, it's surprising. We're still going, still losing tons of money doing this side project. So if you buy a t-shirt, thank you so much. It's still not covering even our website hosting. And you know what? I don't care.
Are we really losing tons of money, Michelle?
Well, I've been paying for a lot of wrestling sponsorship.
Well, that's true. Yes, sponsorship wise, yes.
I also keep buying free merch for people.
Michelle
is my language, and the problem is, I love when people tell me that they're a fan. Even like fan isn't right. Like they listen. I don't want to say they're a fan of me. That feels gross.
And then,
Michelle, like they say that they listen. Like
t-shirt.
I'm gonna send you something. Yeah,
or some stickers.
I like buying people things.
Michelle's love language is spending way too much money on people. That's
oh my god, tell me about it.
Michelle's.
Well, we hit 51 minutes.
Michelle's love language is dropping an amount of money that I don't want to talk about on a pro wrestling sponsorship and saying, "Here, this is for me and JD." Because
yeah,
JD is,
and also to support our friend, who
right?
Project
our friend
really
Eric. Anyway, guys, yeah. Hey, there we are. I'm pretty sure we just hit 120 hours.
52.
Go watch and look. Even if you let us spoil the whole thing for you, Jenna, please go back and watch.
Yeah, Jenna.
You'll never find me. Real interesting title. I'm not entirely certain. I mean, I get how it plays in, but it's also just kind of there. But also, as a general rule, I don't care about titles. Solid film, really well done, really looking forward to whatever Indiana Bell and Josiah Allen do in the future.
Yep. Great movie. AI sucks. Thanks for listening.
Oh, I do want to point out just quickly before we go, if we haven't convinced you yet, You'll Never Find Me Right Now does enjoy not just an 89% fresh tomato meter rating after 35 critics reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. It also currently has an audience score of 83%. And those two things are rarely high like that together. So if that doesn't convince you, well then, why the fuck are you even listening to a horror movie podcast?
Plus, Australian/New Zealand accents are great.
Yeah,
watch it just to listen to them say "nar" instead of "no."
Nar,
nar instead of "no." I love it. One of my favorite accents.
I don't know. Say goodnight, Michelle.
Good night, Michelle.
For more horror content, visit WeWatchShudder.com, where you'll find our world famous patent-pending Ghoul blog and Squelch files, as well as a schedule of upcoming episodes. Find us on social media at WeWatchShudder on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and I guess Twitter if you're still doing that for whatever reason. You can email us. mail@WeWatchShudder.com is the address. mail@WeWatchShudder.com. You can even call and leave us a voicemail, 701-566-9510. No, really. 701-566-9510. Give it a shot. See what happens. We Watch Shudder is a production of Rat Factory Media.